like to tell the choir that was beautiful. Amen. 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 God bless you, Sister Treve. Appreciate that good talk. Remember me in your prayers today as I stand before you. I want to share some scripture with you from 1 Kings, chapter 18, and I have a lengthy reading lesson today, so bear with me. I need to read these verses. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with the 17th verse. If you want to turn there and read with me, let's read together. Be reading about today about Elijah and his challenge to the prophets of Baal. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now I want you to remember that, as we go through this today, and the people answered him not a word. Nobody said anything when he asked them the question of why they were hung between these two opinions. If you believe that God is God, then, you know, worship him. If you believe that Baal is God, worship him. And nobody said a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. That's reading in 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 40 for a scripture reading. Here's my thought today that the Lord has given me that I want to share with you. I want to use this title. I'm only one person. I'm only one person. Last week, I spoke about things concerning nations, the fact that the Bible teaches us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but that sin is a reproach unto any people. Spoke about the things that we have going on in our nation that Brother Wheat spoke about again this morning that plague us, that we know are wrong, that we know are contrary to God and to His Word and to the things that He expects of us as a people. Sometimes we as human beings, in fact, probably far too many times, we have this tendency. We look at a situation and we see the great magnitude of it. We see how large of a problem sometimes that there really is. And here's what we say. We say, well, I am only one person. Or sometimes we may even ask ourselves the question, well, I'm only one person. What can I do? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. You know, there are many, many, many examples in the Bible of what God did with one person. One person. I want to ask you today to think about the individual that you are. And the Bible tells us, when it's talking about the Lord's church, and Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, he said that we are the body of Christ and that we are members in particular. And so we are many members that make up one body. So the church body is made up of individual members. And I want to ask you today again to think about that question. I am only one person. What can I do? I want to talk today and use some examples from the scriptures because, you know, not only can one person do things that affects people in a good way, but you know, one person can bring judgment upon a whole nation. One person. Now you may think, well, that doesn't sound possible, that something that one person might do that was not right would cause God to look down and judge a whole nation because of it. But we have examples of that in the scriptures. The world today, and when I say the world today, I'm talking about the world, not the cosmos, but the inhabitants, the people of the world today, everybody is tainted with sin. Every one of us. Every person that has ever lived in the world from the time that God created Adam and from the time that Adam disobeyed God, the world, the people of this world have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is guilty of sin. The entire human race, how many billion is it? I don't know. I don't remember the number that they're saying right now in our day, the estimated number of people that inhabit the earth. But everybody is guilty of sin. And because of that, the human race is dying. I mean, we are dying. People are dying every day. And the reason that people are dying every day is because of sin. That's exactly what the Bible teaches us, that the wages of sin, or the penalty for sin, is death. And we die because of sin. And so the world today, and not only does sin bring about death, but sin separates people from God. If you read the 59th chapter of Isaiah, you'll find out that that's exactly what the prophet Isaiah said there. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Because of sin, man fell out of fellowship with God. And because of sin, man has to die. And when we look at the mess that the world is in because of sin, we realize what the scriptures say, that it was not a great company of people, or it was not a nation, but it was one man. One man that brought sin into the world. That is exactly what the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I suppose that when we look at things in the negative, when we look at things in an evil way, no one person has ever had the effect, the evil effect upon the world that Adam did when he disobeyed God in the garden. He plunged the whole world into sin. Now, we realize today that we all as individuals, that we ourselves are guilty of sin, and the Bible tells us that every man shall die for his own iniquity. But it was Adam, one man, that one man, through him that sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One man brought sin into the world. We read about in the book of Joshua when Israel took their first Canaanite city. When they went into the promised land, the first city that they conquered in Canaan was Jericho. And I know you all are familiar with the story of how that they marched around the city the number of times that God told them to, and they blew the trumpets and they gave the shout, and the walls fell just like God told them that they would fall if they obeyed him. But God had told them, he had told the Israelites that when they took Jericho, that they were not to take of the goods of that city, because that God had cursed them, and he told them that they were not to take them. They were only to take those things that he had consecrated, and they were to be taken to the house of God and used, but they as individuals, they were not to take those goods, the spoils of that city of Jericho. They were not to take them to themselves, because God said they are accursed. Well, you know what? Out of that nation, there was one man that disobeyed the Lord. One person. His name was Achan. You know what he did? He took him, he saw a Babylonian garment, and he liked it. He saw, some of the silver and the precious metals and stuff, and he took those things, those accursed things that God had told him not to take, and he hid them, and God brought judgment upon the nation of Israel because of it. You know what happened because of Achan's sin? Just shortly after that, they went to face the small army of the men of Ai, and Ai whipped them and set them running. You know, Israel had been used to winning. God was with them. And when they went to war, they had been used to winning the war. They had been used to winning the battle. And they went and they faced the men of Ai. In fact, they had the attitude that we don't even have to take our whole army to go face these men, because they're small and we'll take care of them real quick. And they went and they faced those men of Ai, and they got defeated. And Joshua began to seek the Lord to find out what was happening. And you know what the Bible said? It didn't say Achan sinned. It said Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. God judged that nation because of what that one man did. Do you think today... And you may not like this, and you may not like to think about this, but I want to plead with you today to think about this. Do you believe that as an individual, that something that you do that is contrary to God, something that you do that is evil in the sight of God, as a member of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, you as an individual, do you believe that you can affect the whole congregation? Well, I want you to know you can. I want you to know that you can. The Apostle Paul taught that well in his epistles. He wrote and he said that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Would you wake up perhaps on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day, and perhaps you're not feeling very spiritual that morning. Maybe you're feeling quite carnal that morning, and you say, well, you know I ought to go to the worship service, but there's something else I'd rather do. I'd rather go out here and partake in this worldly venture or whatever that it is. Do you believe that your decision to do something like that can affect the whole service that day? Well, I do. I believe that's proven to us in the scriptures that what one person does in disobedience to God can affect a whole group of people, even affect a whole nation of people. And I'll tell you what, I think we know today that we've got more than one person in America that's guilty of vile sins and ungodly living. One person at various times throughout history has caused a lot of damage. We better think in our actions, the things that we do. We better consider that if what we do is wrong, because, the Bible even talks about in the Old Testament there in the book of Exodus, the Bible talks about the sins of the fathers being passed up on their children even to the third and the fourth generation. I don't know about you, but to me, that's scary. To me, that's a sobering thought, that something I might do that was wrong in the sight of God and that was an abomination in His sight would affect my posterity even to three and four generations that come after me. That's something to think about, isn't it? I mean, one person can do a lot of damage. So we better think and we better watch our lives, because what we do doesn't only affect us. It affects those that are around us. But I want to talk to you more than anything today about things in a positive way. Elijah, in the scriptures that I have read today, and I'm gonna warn you today. I'm going to need some participation. I'm going to call upon probably a couple of you, and if I embarrass anybody, then you see me afterwards, and I'll apologize and make it right with you, but I need to make a point today. Elijah was one man. Here was all of the other Israelites. He stood before them, and he asked them this question. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, I wonder sometimes as God's people today how long we're going to do that. How long are we going to halt between two opinions? How long are we going to, how long is it going to take us, and how long are we going to stay suspended in this state that we're in between the things of God and the things of the world? You know, friends, listen, those things of the world, we need to let them go, because they are hindering the cause of Christ. They are. You may not want to admit it, but they are. There's worldliness among us as God's people, and it's a great hindrance to the cause of Christ. And so we need to stop being so suspended between those two opinions, and we need to serve God. And you know what? Elijah rather asked these people. He said, listen, make your decision. Make up your mind. If you think that Baal is God, then you go and you serve him. If you think that God is God, then you serve him. You know what Jesus Christ taught us? He taught us that you cannot serve both. No man can serve two masters, because he will hate the one and he will cling to the other. And you cannot serve God and mammon. The worst place to be, I suppose, is between both of them, trying to do both things, because that's just an impossibility. And so Elijah said, listen, people, Listen up here. Listen to me. If Baal is God, if that's what you think, then you go and you give your allegiance to him. The Lord is God, then you worship him and you give your allegiance to him. But choose, just as Joshua said before the people in Joshua 24 and 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, they found out as this went on, and we know and we've read, they found out that Baal wasn't God. Baal couldn't do a thing for them. He couldn't answer them. When they called upon him, he couldn't consume the sacrifice with fire from heaven. When they saw that they were losing the challenge, they even began to cut themselves and give their own blood, but that didn't work either. Listen, they were calling upon a God that could not help them. And if you put your trust in your hope in the things of this world, you're going to find out that you are trusting in something that is not going to help you. But boy, I'll tell you what, God can. God has lifted me up many times. He has you too. Amen? God can lift you up, I mean, to the point where you just know that you're right in the palm of his hand, and that he's taking care of you. And so, Israel, the people of Israel wouldn't help him. When he asked them that, how long are you halted between these two opinions? When he asked them that, they didn't answer him a word. I mean, they did not stand with Elijah at all. Nobody would even commit to how they felt about that. And so Elijah said, well, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. But you know what he did? He stood before the 450 prophets of Baal, and he won. You know why? You know why he won? Because one person with God is a majority. That's how he won. One person leaning on the Lord and trusting in the Lord has a voice that can be heard. Elijah defeated 450 false prophets, and he stood against them in that hour, making the challenge. He stood against them by himself, as far as any of the other people were concerned. But God stood with him. When it came Elijah's turn, he said, lay that sacrifice there on the altar and pour water all over it and do it again and do it again and pour water all around that altar in the trench. And he began to pray to God. And when he called upon the name of God, you know, Elijah wasn't looking for any glory, was he? He wasn't looking for any recognition. You know what his desire was? He said, God, let these people know that you're God. What he was praying was for the honor and the glory of God. And when he said that prayer, that God sent that fire down from heaven and it consumed that sacrifice and it licked up that water in the trench to where there wasn't a drop of it left. I mean, God showed himself in a big way. I'll tell you what, you lean on the Lord and you trust him, and you'll see some things that will amaze you. They'll just amaze you. One man made a great accomplishment. Listen, in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, in verse 44, and you keep thinking about this. You keep thinking about this with all the things that we're facing and all the problems that we're facing. You continue to ponder this question in your mind. I am one person. One person. What can I possibly do? Well, in Daniel 2 and 44, the prophet, through Daniel, there had been prophecy that there was going to come a time when the God of heaven was going to set up a kingdom. that would never be destroyed. I believe that kingdom's here today. And it hasn't been left to other people. And it has broken in pieces and consumed the other kingdoms. And it's gone everywhere. But the Lord gave that prophecy that there was going to be a kingdom that would be set up. And when the time was right, when the time that God chose for that to be done, there was work to be done. There were preparations to be made for God to usher in that kingdom and to establish that kingdom here on the earth. He was talking about the church, people. He was prophesying of the church that was to come. And in the days of other kingdoms, he was going to set up his kingdom. And when the time came to do that, if you read the 40th chapter of Isaiah, you'll find out that there was work that needed to be done. There was valleys that needed to be exalted. There was mountains that needed to be brought low. There were preparations to be made. There needed to be people prepared for the coming of the Lord that he would use in the building of that kingdom. The material needed to be made ready and made prepared for the Lord to use when he got here. And you know what? God didn't assemble a nation of wise men. He didn't assemble a whole company of men to do that work. You know what he did? He sent one faithful man. One man. His name was John. He was known as John the Baptist. One man. Here something brand new was about to be seen. There was a new ordinance that was about to be carried out. There was something that people had never seen before. There was going to be the coming of a brand new kingdom. And God sent one man before the Lord to make them ready. And you know what he did? He made them ready. He came and he prepared the material by himself, and he made ready a people for the Lord. One person. Brother Doss, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, if you would. Would you stand up, please? That's all I'm going to ask of you. If I ask you today to look around the congregation of people that is assembled here today, and I said, tell me something that's distinct, you know what I believe you'd notice? That there's one man standing up. One person. Since I asked Brother Doss to stand up, you should have seen the eyes that turned to Brother Doss and looked at him. Brother Doss is one of our elderly members. You know what? I could have asked one of the young people, and I don't say this to make Brother Doss feel bad at all, and he knows that. I could have asked one of the younger people to stand up here today, and you know what? It'd be a little bit easier for them to stand up and rise to their feet. But you know what? If you're going to stand alone, it's not always easy to stand. It's not always an easy thing to do. Thank you, Brother Doss. Appreciate that. Listen, a lot of times things start with one person that's willing to stand up. You know what? When I asked Brother Doss to stand up, you know what we saw there? We saw his willingness to do it. He was willing to stand up. It may be somewhat of an effort, but he was willing in his heart and willing to do what was asked and to stand up. You know what? We need to start with a willingness to stand. One person. I'll tell you what, you won't ever get anything done if you're not willing to stand. Elijah, before those 450 false prophets of Baal, when all of the other Israelites would not offer him even a single word of encouragement, he was willing to stand against them alone. Alone. Now, you're probably going to think this one's really funny, but I got a point to make. Sister Paulita Hayes, would you please stand up? Would you take your hands and put them over your face? Now, if I ask you today to look around the congregation for any kind of distinction, wouldn't Sister Hayes stand out? I mean, that's not normal, is it? That's not normal. I mean, it's different. It's different. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. That's different. I ask somebody to stand up and do something that's different, that's odd. And you know what? If you're going to stand for the Lord, if you're going to stand up for what's right, especially if you're going to make a stand by yourself, and here again, we saw the same thing. You know what? That's a strange thing to ask somebody to do, isn't it? That's an odd thing to ask somebody to stand up in front of their church and cover their face with their hands. But you know what we saw? We saw the willingness to do it, didn't we? She didn't refuse. Did what I asked her to do. Even though, I'm sure right at that very moment that she realized, this man's crazy. If I do what he's asking me to do, I'm going to look strange and I'm going to look odd. But she did it. Listen, if you're going to stand for the Lord in this world, I mean the way this world is living, if you're going to stand for the Lord in this world, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. You're going to look strange. You're going to look odd. You're going to look different than everybody else. And if you're not willing to look odd and to look different in this world, then you're not going to be able to do much for the Lord. Amen? I mean, because listen, the world, as it's already been mentioned here today, the world that we live in is filled with sin, and people are living sinful lives, and it's up to us as God's people to take the truth to them. And if we will do that, if we will do the things that God has told us to do, when we are among them, we're going to look just like somebody standing there covering, doing something that's just completely different than what the others are doing. But I'll tell you what, the one person that will do that has a great voice. I assure you, because God will stand with them. When our brother and our sister here today stood, you looked at them, didn't you? Your eyes went towards them. Look, he's asking that person to stand up. And I saw eyes look towards them. Listen, don't ever forget this. You may not think it, you may not believe it, but don't ever forget this. People that will stand up, people will look at them. They'll look at them. If you stand up for the Lord, you may think, well, I'll stand up for the Lord in the midst of this sinful society that I'm living in, and they'll not pay any attention to me at all. But they will. They will. You'll draw their attention. I'll tell you what, I promise you this. When Elijah started issuing that challenge to those 450 prophets of Baal, he had their undivided attention. He had their attention. And we today, by the help of God, we can get people's attention. There's been things here. Let me read this verse. The great contrast between these two men. Adam, the first Adam, the earthly Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the spiritual Adam. Romans 5 and 19, says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." I already covered that. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That was Christ. Through his obedience, those of us today that are saved, we have that because of the Lord's obedience to what the Heavenly Father asked of him. There have been things here in the church that have moved my soul. When I was studying about this lesson, there were people that I thought about. One of them was Sister Shuffet. Came to my mind in a strong way. The requests that she has made of us have moved me in my heart. When she has stood before this congregation and asked prayer for the children at the school and asked prayer for the teachers that are there and asked us to pray that God would grant to her the strength and the wisdom to be an influence to those children. And I'll tell you what, friends, listen, today the public school system is in a mess. It's in a mess. But Sister Shuffet, I wanted to come today and try to encourage you, because you know what I believe? I believe that one godly teacher can make a difference. I do. I believe that one good, God-fearing teacher can make a difference in our school system. You know why? Because God will stand with you when you stand for what's right. I thought in this message about Sister Maddie's request that we've heard lately, and I want her to know that they move the heart of this pastor. When she sat there in tears before us and asking us to pray for her and to pray for her classmates and to pray that God would be able to use her to help them and to witness to them. And I wanted to encourage Sister Maddie today and say, listen, honey, one teenage girl can make a difference in the hands of God. And you remember that. That one young girl. There was a young maiden that we read about in the Bible. A young lady that made a big difference in people's lives, didn't she? Made a big difference in the life of Naaman. You've probably heard this story about the one man that was walking down the beach, and all of these, I guess, hundreds or thousands of starfish had washed up on the beach. And they were laying there, and they were in the sand, and one man was walking by, and one by one he was picking them up, and he was tossing them back into the sea. And somebody came by, and they said, "You're crazy. Look at all of these thousands of starfish that have washed up onto the bank here. Do you really think that you as one person is going to make a difference?" And as he heaved the one in, he said, "I made a difference for that one, didn't I?" One person with God on their side can make a difference. I'm telling you, they can, and they have. Well, I want to close with this. I've told you all these things about one person, but I want to ask you to consider with me some scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But you remember what God can do with one individual. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Solomon said, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift his fellow, But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can he be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, if God, as I've tried to show you today, if God has and God can accomplish the things that he has at many times with one person, what about if we join forces? What if we bind together? What if we cooperate? Two are better, aren't they? Three is better than two. Four is better than three. And that threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I don't know what you're feeling on that, but I believe in that threefold cord, I believe one of them is the Lord. The Lord. If the Lord is, if God be for us, who can be against us? The thoughts that I had today, I wanted to encourage us. Don't sit back and say, you know, I know things are going the wrong way. I know everything's bad. Don't do that in your family. Don't do that with your church. Don't do that with your nation. Don't ever say, I'm only one person. What can I do? I can't make a difference. There's no use in trying. That defeated attitude is not of God. That's the way the devil would have us to feel, so everything could just continue on the way that it is. But one person can be heard, and one person can influence others, and before you know it, God has a mighty force. You know, when I came to the Lord, seeking him for salvation, you know, I believe there were people that prayed for me. I do. I believe there were people that prayed hard for me and prayed, you know, diligent prayers for me. But you know what? When I came to the Lord, I had to come by myself. I had to come to him alone. And there I had to repent of my sins. And I had to trust him for the salvation of my soul. And if you are dependent upon somebody else, you're not going to make it. You've got to come to God yourself. He's got to see your faith. He's got to hear your penitent cries. I hope and pray that something today has helped somebody. That was my desire. I hope that it'll help us to, realize, listen, I'll tell you what, folks, we can have a lot of influence on the world. Don't ever think you can't. You can have a lot of influence on the people of this world. If God couldn't use us to turn things around, then it'd be time to go, wouldn't it? It'd be time to go. It'd just be time to bring things to a close and take his children home and put an end to it. But he can use us. He can use us to make a difference. I appreciate your attention today, and I ask your prayers. And if you pray for me, you pray for me, and I'll try to pray for you, and we can see things happen in our church, in our families, in our nation. We can see good things happen by the help of God if we're willing to make the stand. Anybody have a word? Anything on your heart? Remember, again, service tonight at 6 o'clock. Pray for Brother Carter as he stands tonight. Been good to be here. Good to see all of you today, and pray God's richest blessings upon you. Please come back tonight and hear Brother Carter, and then remember Brother Hendricks and our prayer meeting Wednesday evening.